Why me, Lord? We've all asked it one way or another, huh? The question has at least three possible ways that we can approach it, and it's pretty important to know which way you're asking.
Yeah.
For example, Chris Christofferson, which way was he asking, why me? He wasn't asking the way most of us do. Most of us ask God why bad things are happening to us. Why, Lord, is such and such happening to me? And you can fill in the blank. We're experts at this. Chris actually is following the second approach. He's asking why he, that is Chris, has it so good. He realizes he's a broken man. So why is God showering him with grace and good things?
Amen.
This morning I want to focus on the third approach. This was the epiphany that I had. This is drilling down, if you will, to below the surface of one and two. One and two was, why are the bad things happening? Number two is, why are the good things happening? Those both are things that are happening right now, yes?
Yeah.
It seems to me we ought to go to ask the question, why, Lord, are we here? Why did he create us? Or you could personalize that, couldn't you? Why did he create
me?
In fact, please repeat after me. Why, Lord? Did you create me? Why did he put us here at this time of history, in this place, etc.? Have you thought about that? Have you thought about that recently? Or are we so caught up in our everyday just going and blowing that we fail to seek the Lord? Now, if we focus on God instead of our situation at hand, it will draw us much closer to Him. Jesus Christ died with purpose. He died for something. Amen? He died for you. So 2,000 years ago, he had you in mind.
Yes, he did. Amen.
Not just for eternal salvation, but how about for the here and now? The life that we can have and live right now. Isn't it the essence of the Great Commission? Right? Jesus didn't just send them out to be well and to party. He sent them out with purpose, didn't he? Have faith, be empowered by God's Holy Spirit, and go minister to others. Listen, folks, if I had a job for you to do and you said, well, what is the job? And I told you what the job was, and the job required equipping and tools to do the job, and I just sent you out with no equipping, chances are you're not going to do too well. But if I send you out and I tell you what the job is and I give you the tools to do the job and I train you for the job, if you recognize that the power of God is with you, you'll be much bolder, won't you?
Yes.
Should I repeat that? If you realize that the power of God is with you, you'll be much bolder.
Yes. Yes. Amen.
Why, Lord, are we here? What's this all about, Alfie? The movie asked. So now, let me tell you the second part of my week, which happened on Wednesday morning. I am a late night person, which means I generally am up when most of you are in bed, and I'm usually in bed when most of you are up. I get it. Getting up early to seek the Lord for me is like 1 a.m. For some of you, it's 5 a.m. And this past Wednesday, I woke up early. I was thrashing around in the bed. I couldn't get comfortable. Didn't matter what I did. And I thrashed around from 4 to 5 before I finally figured out something was going on in my soul, because I didn't hurt and I wasn't anxious other than something was stirring. And it's not You know, I wish I could say that this happens frequently, but this is a very unique Wednesday morning. So I finally gave in to it and started listening, which I recommend you do. It helps you hear from God when you actually yield to what he wants to say to you. And like all good messages, I guess they teach this in preacher school. You got to have 3 points to your sermon. So God was very good with me. He gave me 3 things to ponder. He said, wake up. Smell the roses. God is blessing. Say it with me. Wake up. Smell the roses. God is blessing. Okay, wait, wake up. Smell the roses. God is blessing. Not much information there. It was like having one of those 1,000-piece puzzles dumped on the table. Have you ever done this? Any of you ever put together a puzzle? 5 puzzlers in the room. Okay, the rest of you need to try this sometime. So they take a picture, a beautiful picture, and they chop it into 1,000 pieces. They scramble it all up, and then you dump it on the table, and you got to figure out how to put the thing back together to see the picture. Yeah. First thing you have to do is you got to turn all the pieces right side up. That helps you check out where the various colors are, and you start seeing kind of zones in the pieces. And then you find a couple that maybe fit together, and so on, until some kind of a picture emerges. So here are some of the pieces that began to turn over for me of a little after 5 a.m. Wednesday morning. See if you can discern anything that's common to them that might begin to form a picture. Dayspring formed in 1980, it incorporated in 1981, but from a group of families who were seeking the Lord for direction, for teaching. They were seeking the Lord for life. All the things a fellowship of believers in Jesus Christ both seek and need. And very soon after this coming together, very soon after Dayspring, we'll say, formed, BCA is formed. Banks Christian Academy. What were they thinking? Why would a church ever want to undertake such a thing as a school? It was like a mission piece turned over in the puzzle. You with me? It was like a piece of mission, and flipped over with that piece was a piece that said education on it. We've got a mission, and it includes education. Why do we want to educate? Who do we want to educate? What's the purpose of the education? Well, in this case, it was Banks Christian Academy. We want to make sure our kids heard about the Lord. Amen. So BCA grows via absolutely impossible odds. And it moves from place to place, growing all the while, fulfilling the ministerial call to lots of moms who step in to teach. And these moms weren't all certified teachers, and we didn't pay them anything, and this is absolutely ridiculous. And somebody was going absolutely crazy in the Holy Ghost. It grows. It outgrows the place that it was in. It goes to another place. It outgrows that place. Then we bought this building. It outgrows this place, so we bought the Buxton School and then the annex. As the moms retire and the ministry changes, so does the management. Now, whether it was the change of management or just the season of ministry, I'm not sure, but things began to decline as far as the numbers of students. And eventually we didn't see how we could keep going and service the debt at the same time. Faith Bible comes along and offers to run the school. They took over Banks Christian Academy and morphed it right into Faith Bible West. The Buxton Assembly of God Church comes along and buys the 2 buildings. This is a miracle. God called us into the education business, and we get to stay in it even today because we still support Faith Bible West.
Yes, amen.
Plus, now, we're debt free.
Hallelujah.
Thank you for that. Now, along all this, the Near family comes along. Do we have any Nears in the room? Yeah, there's a couple back there. The Near family comes along, and the mom's name is Melissa, and Melissa was teaching at BCA, so there's an education piece for you. And then she gave us a whole bunch of Near children. So we've got Amanda and Samantha back here, Brian, there are others that came along, and all of us were discovering new things, and we began to be, we encountered the mission in Mazatlan. That's a mission piece. This again puts us in the path of the impossible. And again, God provides year by year. But it's not just about feeding the poor in Mexico. As Roots and Wings comes along to start the impossible mission of education in Mazatlan. I hope you see what's going on. The Lavinia Church in the town, utilizing the services of a lot of volunteers and a lot of contributions, they take on the mission of feeding the poor. They even had a little vacation Bible school. They towed it around in a trailer. They still do that, Mike? Yeah. And then Roots and Wings, which we don't know too much about, this couple young gals, I think they're in their 20s. They show up to start a school. This is just beyond comprehension. To connect some of these pieces, we have Mike and Terry Bradbury, who had moved down there, in their eyes, to retire and live the great life in a condo in Mazatlan, and they immediately get sucked into the ministry there as God puts it on their heart. So they're serving. They tell some. Amanda then gets the bug from God. And how many years, Amanda, have we done that? Is it 12, 15 years? 12 or 13 years to Mazatlan. And every year it's kind of a miracle how the money comes in, because you leave like in March and in February we don't have the money, and by March we always have the money. It's just ridiculous. Part of the BCA ministry included our very own Ed Trussell. He grows up here in Banks. He attended BCA. He ministered here in this church in both his music ministry and with our youth. Then he goes off and he gets married. And what does he do? He goes on the mission field. To do what? Any of you remember what he went on the mission field to do? To teach, to educate the poor in Africa. Now, the impossible needs of Africa switched to the, we'll just call them, overwhelming needs of South America. He and his wife had to leave Africa because of the threatened violence. I mean, the war was in their backyard. They get over to South America, and what begins to happen? They get involved with a school called BCA. Only God. And Sarah, his wife, fast forward a couple years, she's now the principal of her school. You have a mission piece, if you're hearing me, and you have an education piece that just keep coming over, right? We just keep flipping them over. Sarah now is helping to begin yet another school on an island off the coast of Cartagena, Colombia, South America. It's just absurd. When I talk to any of you about what's going on in Sarah and Eddie's life and the tasks that she's looking to take on, no rational person is going to come up and think this is a good idea. Oh, it's a good idea to help the poor. Oh, it's a good idea to have schools. But it's not a good idea for you to do it. But wait, there's more. A few years ago, a traveling African children's choir came to town and wowed us with their music and their liveliness, and they were seeking help for the impossible needs of Africa. This was Asante. It was a missions piece. We jumped in with lots of folks in this congregation and all over this northwest area by adopting the kids on a monthly basis. We didn't really bring them into this country, but we sent money there to support them. And then we had the choir come back here a number of times too, at least three times I think they were here, until this ministry imploded because of sin. Not the sin of the kids, but of the founder of the ministry. It was devastating. Hundreds of kids, maybe over 1,000 kids, no longer were supported. And that joins with all the other horrible stories of poverty we hear out of Africa. And adding to the sadness of it all was the fact that the money that was going to not only feed the kids, but educate them also in the schools that were built in Uganda, Rwanda, and Burundi. This ministry had very positive effects. The $5, the $25, whatever it is you sent in, it actually was going to help build schools in three countries until the thing imploded because of pilfering of the funds. The education piece was inseparable from the missions piece. Well, the closure of Asante made us feel horrible, like we felt when BCA was coming to be closed. But we couldn't keep sending money to a thief. And we've been waiting for the Lord to raise up something. And those of us that were on the former Asante emails, we've heard about some possibilities, some things you might investigate. Well, during this development of Asante's ministry internationally, they formed an American board, and the American board got together lots of people, and they provided leadership as well as fundraising and all the things a nonprofit does. So there were a lot of folks that got to know a lot of other folks while serving together. What a concept, huh? Serving together with purpose and mission to educate and feed. Well, one such guy in this loop is named Pastor Pat Parks. He's a retired police chief from Petaluma, California, who has formed a new nonprofit to again help the poor in Burundi. He and another few retired cops are doing a great work, and they're all volunteers, helping to restore the contacts that dissolved with Asante's demise. Now, one of the contacts along these several years was Adam Heiser. That's Stephen Norma's son, who now runs Odyssey Productions, which is the film company that Adam took to Africa to film Asante's promotion. Some of us have seen that film. Well, Adam has recently connected me, and now you, to Pastor Parks, the cop in California. Piece by piece is turning up. His ministry is called Hope Milele. Say that with me. Hope Milele. Turns out that Milele is Swahili for forever. Hope forever. Have you ever lost hope? Have you ever been hopeless?
Yeah.
It's a horrible way to be, isn't it?
Yes, yeah, it is.
Just their name is proclaiming the gospel. Hope forever. Taking on the impossible. There is a ministry piece in Uganda called Bridges of Hope. I don't know much about it. There's another ministry that has started back up in Rwanda. It's also at work, but it's got a name I can't really pronounce. I won't try. And now Hope Milele has started and is going quite well in Burundi. I'm telling you this because it's impossible. But it's both a mission piece and an education piece as they feed the kids and then have school for them. He told me it takes about $3 a day. $3 a day to support a child in Africa with good food and education. Now, folks, you have to realize even the United Nations can't fix Africa.
That's right.
Right? Yeah. They can't fix South America or any other place on this planet. But we Christians can do a bunch. We can do more than give a cup of cool water to the poor and the thirsty. We can help feed them. And then we can help educate them so they can climb out of poverty, the very thing needed so badly here in our own country. Come on. The way out of poverty is through education.
Yeah.
Now, if you're too hungry to get up in the morning or too hungry to go to school, you need food. So obviously the food component is essential. But once you've fed somebody, then what? And sometimes it's the way of the American church. We come and we eat of the Word of God and we feed on His presence, and then what? Dayspring, let's not forget Bridges for Peace. This is a ministry in Israel that we support to help the arrival of Jews that are coming back to their homeland. Let's not forget Puppets and Praise, a ministry to children that we support, giving hope through the gospel and the education component of God's Word. So, what is God doing? I think He's giving us a renewed vision, or at least me. It leads to a purpose, and it draws upon our connectedness, which can solve a lot of problems of somebody feeling like they're lonely or disconnected in any way, or just bored. It can certainly help with the problems we all have with being selfish, or I shouldn't say selfish as much as self-centered. It provides and can help to provide real Christian community, opening places to serve, releasing the gifts of the Spirit, and much prayer, helping each one of us to get under the spout where the glory's pouring out. Listen, if I told you that at a certain address in town, the glory of God was being poured out, wouldn't you go there?
Yes,
ma'am. Huh? I mean, the whisper would happen all over. Hey, bzz, 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 you got to go to this. You got to. The God is pouring out there. The glory of God is a fascinating thing to even ponder.
Yes.
God, I want to be where your glory is. Amen?
Amen?
Revelation chapter 3, if you would turn there. I have kind of the answer to point number one as to where did this come from. Revelation 3, verses 2 and 3. It says, wake up! Strengthen what little remains, for even what is left is almost dead. I'm 72 years old. God is saying, wake up! Strengthen what remains. It's 5 o'clock in the morning. I heard three things. Wake up.
Smell the roses.
You forgot already. Smell the roses. God is blessing. Wake up. Strengthen what remains. Luke 15:17 and Acts 12:11. If you're taking notes, you can write those down. First, the Luke passage, we don't need to turn there. It's about the prodigal son. And the word says, come to your senses. Then in the book of Acts, Peter, who do we know Peter to be? The great man of God, the tower of faith. He's told to come to his senses. His spiritual senses, right? So this wake up is a big deal. Wake up, church. Come to your senses. Well, what am I supposed to do if I'm all awakened? What are we to do if somebody has come along and kind of ripped the veil off our eyes, the veil of just worldliness and the veil of just getting by every day and the veil of just raising my kids and cooking and cleaning, the veil of just going to work and doing the things I normally do, the veil of just suffering in my own flesh by some... What am I supposed to do? So number one, I'd like to see us wake up with spiritual eyes that Dayspring is and has been in the ministries of mission and education, and that we have enjoyed great blessing because of it.
Amen.
Church, you sit in a building that is paid for. We are debt free largely because of the impossible ministry called Banks Christian Academy. And we haven't forsaken the ministry. We've just kind of switched labels. And now we still contribute. But what is God calling us to? Let's smell some roses for a minute. You know, life stinks sometimes, yes? We walk through not always pleasant places, yes?
Yes.
Sometimes this world and the sin in it just stink. So how in the midst of all this stench can we smell the roses? Now we may be on a broken planet with lots of stinky stuff all around us, but we have God with us. Amen?
Amen.
Who can make all things beautiful? What a beautiful name it is. What a powerful name it is. This is like my grandson Josh taught me a few years ago, telling me, it's beautiful. When looking at a weed-infested yard in the middle of a nicely groomed subdivision, Josh saw God's work, not man's. Number three, therefore, is that God is blessing us. You are a very blessed people. You're sitting here looking all great. And you should be praising God for the outpouring of blessing that you enjoy.
Amen.
There's a song we come across every now and then. The Lord has done great things for us. Does this congregation know that song?
Yes, amen.
Huh? The Lord has done great things for us. The Lord has done great things for us. For he has filled my mouth with laughter, filled my tongue with singing. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad. Echo, so very glad. Yes, we are glad. So very glad, for he has filled our mouths with laughter. Ha ha, filled our tongues with singing. The Lord has done great things for us.
Yeah. Amen.
Now, I would like to ask the board, and I'd like to ask you, the congregation, about a few things. And so this is kind of a board, elder board, church board, congregational meeting. I, your pastor, want to ask you a few things. I want to ask you to think about, pray about, and take action about helping in Colombia with a school near Cartagena. I want to ask you about helping in Mexico, in addition to the ministry at Mazatlan, but to helping with Roots and Wings, once we clarify what would help the most with each of these. Number three, I'd like to ask you for help in Burundi, Africa, with Hope Milele, by inviting Pastor Parks to come here to Dayspring and share not only the needs, but share the vision, encouraging us as a church to take on some more impossible ministry. Now, he's in California. It isn't going to cost much to bring him up here. But I do think we should do it by approval. I'd like to invite Ed Smelzer back from, he's with Bridges from Peace. Fortunately, he just lives in Vancouver. I'd like to hear another report, a more timely report about what's going on in Israel. The Bible says God blesses those who bless Israel. And lastly, I'd like us to be seeking the Lord's invitation for a greater understanding and a greater involvement in these ministries. How we can get involved individually. How we can continue under the spout where the glory is pouring out. I am absolutely positive that if you travel to Mexico, you'll encounter God. If you travel to Colombia, you will encounter the Lord's work. If you go to Burundi, Africa, you will encounter what God is doing there. Hello?
Hello.
If you go to Israel, certainly you will encounter what God is doing. So we can get involved, not just as a passive church writing checks, but we could get involved personally. Hello?
Yes.
Wake up, strengthen what little remains, for even what is left is almost dead. Let's get it going. We have something that's been going on this summer. The Turpinnings have continued a ministry this summer called Ultimate Frisbee. And they gather a bunch of young people on Thursday night before they go to the park and throw the frisbee around. They show a video and a teaching, and they have some dialogue, and they spend 45 minutes or so with the kids in spiritual formation. It's not like church. It's not too heavy. It's kind of light. And then they go play frisbee. And the results of this has been a crowd of kids that's been growing. And last week, Doug told me, they even had some of the city kids who are not a part of the normal frisbee circle. Some of the city kids came over and were bold enough to say, can we play too? And so lives began to be connected through that, didn't it? But folks, I suggest we need more of this. Hello? Because there's a mission piece there being turned over. A very vital mission piece. And what they do here in this room is very much an education piece. And Doug told me yesterday that was it a young man or young woman? One of the kids was actually feeding back to you some of what they... Do you want to share any of that? You don't. Okay. I'm doing okay? So when young people start telling you that they actually went to a meeting and here's what they heard, that's pretty exciting. It's not just what rock band they heard or what video game they mastered, but they started to hear something of the gospel. Pamela Christensen, are you here this morning, Pamela? But April and Gary Mahone are here. So Pamela Christensen has been involved, and the Mahones to a minor extent, with Prep for Kids. A ministry in this community. It's a mission for Pamela Christensen, but it's been an education component. Prep for Kids is like release time, right? Bringing kids out of school during the year to teach them about Christ. What I'm suggesting to us is that we need to wake up, smell the roses, and re-engage. Not that you've been bad, not that anything's horrible wrong, but I would like you to get as excited about this as I got when I couldn't sleep anymore. I would like to have more people involved. And look, I don't even know how all that goes. Should we as a congregation spend a few thousand dollars and send some people to some of these places to find out more about what's going on? That kind of is the way a business would work, right? If a business wanted to undertake a new venture, they would go send some people to investigate the new venture. And then, you know, should we form some groups of interested people if you're interested in one of these locations? So I can think of Israel, I can think of Mexico, I can think of Cartagena, and I can think of Burundi. Then I can think of...
Banks.
Is that what you said? Yes. And how could we reactivate our faith and take on more impossible ministry? Because if the only thing we do, church, is what we can do, why do we need God? You know, he may say, hey, good job, you're doing a fine thing there. And we need to get on our face and say, Lord, what do you want? Yes, ma'am.
Marion has a request for Faith West. They have enrollment right now at 48, and they need 12, and we really would like prayer.
One of the things we can all do is get on the prayer bones. We can lift these ministries. Faith West is an education component of mission. Amen? So that's what's stirring in my heart. I'm trying to stir it into your heart. I'm asking us to seek the Lord. And how the board is going to move forward and how we as a congregation will move is up to him. But as a messenger, I want you to be aware. How exciting could it be to help with ministry in Africa?
Exciting.
Many of you have done it already by supporting Asante Kids. Would you like to have Pastor Parks fly up here and tell us about it? If you would, let's get him a ticket. Ed Smelzer, would you be okay if he came by and shared with us about what God was doing in Israel? Before they left, yesterday I think it was, I talked to Eddie and Sarah Trussell, and I asked Sarah especially, I said, I want you to go back to South America, and I want you to send me more detailed information about what you actually need. It's not like we just want to write a check, but we know it's going to be a check. But what will we do? How will we help? She told me, in fact, I think she told all of us, that the teachers in the public school sometimes don't even show up. And the teachers in their Christian school don't make enough money to live on. Isn't this weird? This is like the devil. The teachers who are paid a living wage don't go to work. And the Christians who don't get paid enough, they come to serve. I don't know if that stirs you. That stirs me. So Lord, I could wax on here about this a lot, but I'm seeking you. I am before you, oh God. I want to know how to lead this people on these ministries you've already put in our lives. This stuff is in our DNA. It's our history as a church. We want to be faithful to how you've called us. We want to be those that get so excited we can tell others, come and join with what the Lord is doing. Come and get excited again. Father, we pray for Faith Bible West this summer as parents are making decisions about where they should send their kids. Is it too much, oh God, to ask for 12 more students? We pray, oh God, for your blessing there. Help us smell the roses. Help us not look around and see all the stinky stuff, oh God. Help us see the beauty that you've created. And help us see the wonder that you display. Give us more vision. Give some details to the vision. We're seeking you earnestly today in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen.
I have a question. I'm kind of confused because John and I started coming here partly because of BCA, and we donated $1,000 of inheritance money to that school. I'm not saying that to give a big prize or something. I'm just saying that that was the burden, you know. And we have supported that school ever since we came here through the church. We wrote checks to Dayspring for BCA. But I was told a few months ago that we were no longer going to be doing that. That if you wanted to support a ministry, to send the check yourself, direct to them.
Well, maybe I shouldn't ask who told you, but
it was announced from the front, from the pulpit. It was.
Do you know about this?
From the pulpit, yes, it was announced from the pulpit that said it was too much. It was too much bookkeeping, and I was really upset because I was not told personally. It was announced from the pulpit, and then I said, "What do you mean?"